Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. A disciple of Jesus Christ in any generation will not be religiously or politically correct. Most worldly values, philosophies, and pleasures are opposed to what God deems to be true or appropriate. We all need God's grace and the power of His Holy Spirit to boldly stand up for Jesus and the truth that is in God's Word. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 13 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 7 through 13.
Note this, beloved, that the reality of persecution does not relieve the church of the responsibility of preaching the gospel. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, quote, "In proclaiming the gospel, the disciples would be persecuted, but they must not despair and give up. Despite all opposition, it is a priority in God's plan for this age and will be accomplished in accordance with His purposes." Amen and amen. Paul, I think of right now, sitting in a prison cell in Colossae, prayed for an open door to share the gospel. And here is Paul, incarcerated. You and I may have called it in the past 3 months, though not the same thing, cooped up, quarantined. And yet Paul prayed for an opportunity to preach the gospel. Some have misinterpreted this passage of Jesus about the gospel being preached to the whole world as meaning that the whole world will come to the saving knowledge of Christ and that will usher in the kingdom of God. I believe that that is a great error. Remember, the coming of Jesus Christ is going to be like the days of Noah, like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, not a revival. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse." But the gospel will be preached. Praise God for that. And as far as receiving the gospel is concerned, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said in verses 13 and 14 these words, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." That broad gate that leads to destruction, beloved, is the teaching that all roads lead to God. Jesus said in verse 14, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Narrow is the way? Amen. Because Jesus Christ is exclusively the way by which people are brought into salvation and have eternal life. And Jesus said, "Few there be that find it." Satan has always been opposed to Jesus Christ. He's always been opposed to the teachings of Scripture. And there's always been the spirit of Antichrist in replacement of or substitute of Christ. And in spite of every satanic conspiracy theory and every false religious system, the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be preached among all nations, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, "Who," that is God, "will," or desires, "all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Now notice, what is the truth? Here it is. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That gospel will be opposed. The truth of the gospel is that sinners are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. God has never had but one way to save sinners, and that is by grace through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so opposition is not uncommon for the disciple of Jesus Christ. And Jesus now, in verse 11 through 13, continues this thought of opposition. He says, "When they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." In other words, to the disciples who would be led before these councils, who would be led before kings, Jesus said the Holy Ghost would enable them to say the right things at the right time with boldness despite their natural fears. And again, we see this happening in the book of Acts and throughout the epistles. Jesus Christ has warned us, beloved, of the fact that not only throughout church history, but throughout church history up to this present time, the true follower of Christ is not going to fit in or be conformed to the philosophy or values of this fallen world system. In fact, the true follower of Jesus Christ has never fit in with the philosophy or values of this fallen world system. Remember this, beloved. It has never been possible throughout church history to be faithful to the doctrine and teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and be politically correct. Just read, with a heavy heart, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Notice what is coming soon. And it's happening now. It's been happening. Jesus said in verses 12 and 13, "Brother shall betray the brother to death, the father the son. Children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death." Please note, beloved, that the enmity of carnal mind against the Lord Jesus Christ is stronger than even the ties of family and blood. "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So the fact that Jesus said he shall endure to the end shall be saved, it should be obvious that he's speaking of something including but beyond 70 AD, because the end didn't happen in 70 AD. Jesus Christ didn't come the second time in 70 AD. But I want us to know, beloved, that the cause for the betrayal and persecution is stated here in verse 13. "For my name's sake." That's the cause. That's the crime. Not for being obnoxious. Not for being opinionated. Not for being self-righteous. Jesus was never obnoxious. He was never opinionated, and he certainly was not self-righteous. The hatred that disciples will receive is because of their pure devotion to Jesus Christ. Hostile Jewish leaders and civil leaders who were offended by Christ's teachings and declarations of deity persecuted Christ's first disciples. And since then, every true disciple of Jesus who has been devoted to him, obeyed his teaching, spoke of his deity, has often been the recipient of persecution. Remember this, beloved. I stated it a moment ago, and I think it's important to state it again. It is impossible to be surrendered to Christ, faithful to the doctrine and teaching of Jesus Christ, and be politically correct. You will be considered intolerant and a hater. If we identify with Jesus Christ, we can expect that the world will treat us in the same way that it treated him. I find it interesting that in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus talks about the poor in spirit, those that mourn, those who are meek, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart, those who are peacemakers. Wouldn't you think that that would be the kind of person that one would embrace, that one would find not a problem? But Jesus then goes on and says in verse 11, this is the reaction of the world to the person described in the Beatitudes. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Notice, for my name's sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning in verse 18, Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Did the world hate Jesus, this fallen world system, the false religious systems, the political systems? Yes. Jesus said that you and I are not of this world. We're chosen out of that fallen system. And we are servants of Christ. And Jesus said that the servant is not greater than his Lord. He was persecuted. We will be persecuted. And why? Because they know not the Father. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, John says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy, yea, and all that will not speak godly, live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. To proclaim that Jesus Christ is Messiah is blasphemy according to Orthodox Judaism. And in the vast majority of those, they count the one who proclaims Christ as Messiah as being dead. If I came from a strict Muslim family, I might be rejected by my family and literally killed for choosing Christ. If I came from a Hindu family in India, I could be rejected and martyred for choosing Jesus. In China, I would be allowed to practice Christianity only in the state-sponsored church or be persecuted. Beloved, we live in a fallen world where hostilities toward God run high and hot. And for this reason, we must become men and women of vision, passion, discipline, and surrender, laying ourselves out for the high honor of the one name alone, the name of Jesus. Bishop J.C. Ryle wrote these words, quote, and he's writing in the 1800s, "It is a bold act in a day when all other names are exalted but this one. And to associate with this one is scandalized with every argument the mind of man can muster. But when all is said and done, and the debris of man's fallen empires lays in shambles at heaven's door, Jesus will be there to welcome you, saying, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Great is your reward in heaven.'" There are times in the gospel of Jesus where he drew a line in the sand and where he challenged those who were following him and seemed to have a desire to embrace him as master. And he would tell them some incredible things. He would say things like, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross daily and follow me." He would say, "If any man love father or mother or brother or wife or son or daughter or children or your own self more than me, you're not worthy of me." And the crowds thinned. Jesus said to count the cost. And we do well to lay these things to heart that he spoke about, because we're drawing closer to the end. And in opposition is going to become more intense. And you and I must count the cost of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We must be in this liberal, politically, theologically, religiously correct environment. We must be thick-skinned and tender-hearted if we expect to endure the mockery, the ridicule, the slander, and the threats that is inevitable in a world that calls evil good and good evil. Millions of people have died throughout history for their faith in Jesus. In fact, the intensity of persecution continues to grow today. And there will be times when you and I will be called to suffer simply because of our relationship to Jesus Christ. But the grace and glory that is ours in him for eternity outweighs every present and future trial. In Romans 8, chapter 18, Paul writes, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." In 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, we read, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are eternal, but the things which are not seen, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And Jesus here says but he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. The word endure is translated from the ancient Greek word, which literally means to remain under. Saints, Jesus said times will get difficult. Times will become turbulent. There will be opposition to you and to me, not because of us, but because of our surrender to and devotion to Jesus Christ. There will be opposition for simply saying, it is written. And we need to remain faithful to Christ, even during the most difficult and intense times of opposition. Saving faith is an enduring faith. He that began a good work in you will complete it. There's no bailing out midstream. There's no bailing out near the end, like Demas. A saving faith, a regenerate faith, a person who is born again, someone generally saved by grace through faith, will endure to the end. There will be failures, there will be ups, there will be down, there will be difficulties. But it's the person that endures to the end that will experience the consummation of his or her salvation. Beloved, I just want to say something to you, and it's this. Whether or not you know it, or whether or not you are aware of it, and I'm speaking to all who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, the whole world is watching. They're watching. They're watching you. They're watching me. And Jesus said, we are the light of the world and that we are the salt of the earth. And right now, as you and I are together, you're sitting in your home, your apartment. And there are brothers and sisters right now all around the world who are being persecuted. Churches are being burned. Pastors who are faithful, their wives and daughters are being raped. They are being incarcerated. They are being forbidden to hold a job or to receive the benefits of clean water from a village well. Why? Because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray that as we go through these hard times, and they're hard, that we would consider the things that may be uncomfortable for you and I to be doing as we gather together again in comparison to the price that is being paid by our brothers and sisters all around the world. May we take heed to what Jesus said. And may you and I provoke one another unto love and unto good works. And may we be faithful in the sphere of our own lives to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.